It is expedient for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe the last time I preached to you here at St. Gertrude's on a Sunday, I spoke a little bit about the Medal of St. Benedict. And I hope you haven't forgotten about that sermon, and I hope you haven't forgotten the devotion to that beautiful sacramental either. For the devils and all of hell, we can never forget this. They are all the time attacking us in many different ways. And the St. Benedict Medal is one of the greatest remedies against that attack. You see, almost from the beginning of time, hell has tried to destroy the most marvelous of all God's creation, that is, the soul of man. So marvelous is a single soul of a single man that constantly, from the beginning of time to the end of time, heaven and hell is at war over a single soul, over your soul, and over my soul. It is a constant battle between God and Satan. Everyone remembers the first battle that was waged by the devil, and he was victorious in that one, when he appeared in the form of a serpent in the garden to our first mother, Eve. And he convinced Eve to partake of that apple from the forbidden tree. She took it, she gave it to her husband, Adam, and together they enjoyed the momentary pleasure before they fell into original sin. That was hell's first victory. And every day, he tries to gain one victory after another, until the end of time. But remember that after the first victory of Satan, God promised a Savior to the whole human race, a Savior who would conquer hell and would redeem every man's soul. Well, Christ came, Christ died, and we are all redeemed. But he came for another reason, too. And we must never forget this. He came to establish a church on earth. This church continues, the Catechism tells us, the mission of our Lord when he was yet on earth. That is, to teach, to rule, and to sanctify all men, and to lead them to heaven. But as we know, Christ is no longer here in the same way that he was 2,000 years ago. Those evil men during his passion, they beat him and they spat upon him and they despised him and they kicked, they tore apart his flesh, and finally they pierced his hands and his feet and they killed him. His bodily presence, in that sense, is not with us anymore. It is not exactly the same as it was 2,000 years ago. But he has left us not only the Holy Eucharist, but he has left us his mystical body too on earth. The mystical body is his church, the Holy Catholic Church. And just as men despised his body when he was on earth, so men, and all hell too, will despise and spit upon and attack and seek to kill his mystical body on earth, the church. Why? Why do so many evil men, why do the devils seek to destroy this mystical body? They've already destroyed the earthly existence of Christ. Why now the mystical body? Well, you all know the typical example with moral theologians that if you wish to uproot a weed, you don't just simply cut the top of it. It's like mowing the lawn. When you mow it, you cut off just a few inches of the weeds and the grass, and a week later, it's longer than it was before. You must uproot it. Uproot the piece of weed, the dandelion or what have you, in order to kill it. Well, the devil knows that principle. He is much smarter than us. And he will, in order to wipe off sanctity and holiness from the face of the earth, he doesn't seek to destroy one or two souls and attack them here and there That is not enough to destroy sanctity in the world. He must destroy the root of all sanctity, which comes from the Catholic Church. Here it is. Think of it. How many times, how many graces have you received here in this little chapel? How many communions have you received? How many times have you been absolved from your sins in the confessional? How many sermons have you perhaps received a great grace to do something better in your spiritual life? How many confirmations have taken place? And all of the rest. The church is the means, the root cause, if you will, of sanctification in this life. That is the means that Christ has chosen. So to destroy sanctity in this world, there is only one thing to do. That is destroy the Catholic Church. And so Satan unleashed, even from the first moments of the existence of our Lord's Church, they unleashed the most severe attacks against it. Even from the beginning, you remember if you study the church history and read the Martyrs of the Colosseum, the 10 great persecutions where the emperors sought to kill all the Catholics and to wipe that religion and all of those who adhere to it from the face of the earth. And just as soon as one Catholic would be killed, it was like dandelions. You kill one, and they spring right back up, two or three more than you had before. And so the church was not destroyed, but it thrived. And it always does that. The church thrives in times of persecution. Then, after the 10 great persecutions, there was the Arian heresy in the 300s, I believe it was, against which, as a side note, the brave St. Athanasius, whose feast we celebrate today, fought so hard. Then when that heresy was destroyed, there was the Lutheran heresy, and the Calvin heresy, the Albigensian heresy, which all nearly destroyed the Catholic Church in Europe and in other places. And then every year since then, there's been some persecution or other against the church. And let's not forget that all of us, we all live in a time of great persecution against the church. The worst persecution that has ever existed, that is the heresy of Vatican II. Remember that. It is much like the Arian heresy, only perhaps 10 times worse. In the Arian heresy, many of the true Catholic bishops defected from the faith and took their flocks with them, and the churches and the convents as well. All of those were taken, just as today has happened once more. Our churches are gone. We're reduced to the little chapels that we have. Here at St. Gertrude's, we're blessed to have such a beautiful and large church. But in many places throughout the world, we are reduced to small buildings or even saying Mass in someone's home. But let's not forget this. Though they have the buildings and all of the externals, we have the faith. They're beautiful, perhaps, on the outside, but on the inside, they are filled with filth and corruption and dead bodies. And soon enough, the internal corruption, and you see it happening little by little now, destroys even the little bit of external beauty that the so-called Catholic Church of Vatican II has even now. But we, though we don't have the beauty on the outside, our buildings are not as beautiful as they were 200 or 300 years ago, but we have the faith, and that is all that matters. And remember this too, that now that we are reduced to so few in the true Catholic faith, the devil does not stop there. If you look over the whole history of the traditional movement, it has been one argument after another and one division and split after another. That should never discourage us. We stay here and we keep the faith and we live the interior and the spiritual life, and that is all that matters. We save our souls. We preserve the faith. Remember, too, this, that sometimes when we see all of these divisions, we get quite discouraged and anxious and all of the rest. But remember the words of today's gospel. It is expedient for you that these persecutions should take place. And it is expedient, it is good and useful for even the church that we should endure so many attacks and persecutions by hell. And yes, too, it is expedient that each of us, each individual person, should endure many sufferings in this life, and he should endure them until the moment that his soul departs his body. It is expedient. There's no two ways about it. We must suffer. And I remember what Bishop Sanborn, my seminary professor, a few years ago told us, and I never forgot this. He quoted, I believe it was St. Jerome, and he said that God keeps us here in existence for no other reason than to bear the cross. That's why we're here. So why complain? We should take the cross upon us in humble submission. I'm reminded, too, of a story of the life of St. Athanasius, whom we all associate with defending the church in the Arian heresy. But did you know that he had to suffer a great deal for the church? It is said that on one occasion he was banished from his people, and that is one of the greatest crosses that a true pastor can have, is to be banished and separated from his flock. But he says that he often wrote his flock, even though he could not see them, and in one of his letters he wrote, I am, as you have doubtless been told, a prey to many tribulations. I am weighed down by heavy trials, and I am even watched by the enemies of truth who scrutinize and search everything that I write in order to rake up accusations against me and thereby add to my sufferings. And far from complaining of his sufferings, he finished off his letters by saying, I truly feel that the Lord strengthens and consoles me in all of my afflictions. In other words, he remembered those words of the gospel. It is expedient for me that I should suffer so much. Remember that too. It is expedient for you too. And you might object, well, I'm no saint. I'm no Saint Athanasius. I can't think that way or be so patient when the cross comes my way. Well, think of this too, that the cross is what makes a saint a saint. It is the cross patiently borne every day of our life and every moment of our existence. That is what makes a saint. And so it is expedient for all of us. And that it too is the secret to peace in this life, to accept the crosses which God sends our way. You can think of it like this too. The cross is much like a piece of coal, a lump of coal. A piece of coal is not much to look at. People just toss them aside and forget about them and leave them on the ground. But if they would stop and think, if you grind down a certain piece of coal, you form a diamond, right? That is true. Well, the same is for the cross. You can despise it, you can throw it to the ground, just like that little lump of coal, and you can forget about it, or you can take the cross and you can carry it. And that little cross that you have will soon become a diamond. Not a diamond which will purchase material things, but a diamond for your heavenly crown, which will last for all eternity and raise your place in heaven for all of eternity. And as you suffer, too, I urge you to say this little prayer of Cardinal Mary Delval, who was the Secretary of State under Pope Pius X. He said, O Lord, I deserve to suffer these things, for I have sinned. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.